Bring greetings this morning in Jesus' precious name, and a welcome to each one that is here this morning, home folks as well as you visitors. I don't know if I know any of you visitors, so welcome anyhow. If you care to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I really wasn't sure what scripture to use as a jumping off place. And I wasn't exactly sure what title to put on this, but what I finally came up with is, what happens after death? Let's read 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 through the end of the chapter. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now this subject is a result of a request by a brother. And again, I'm not sure that, I have so many questions myself. After Brian and Rosalie's little boy passed away, little Lance, I was talking to another brother here, and we were wondering what happens after death. Where does the soul, where does the spirit go? And now recently, Jason and Naomi's Ashland kind of revived this question, or the questions about the intermediate state of the soul or spirit between death and the last judgment. I'd like to read verse 14 again. For if we believe Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Now we sometimes make a statement that when a Christian passes away, that he is enjoying heaven at this moment. I probably have said that in the past. But I guess my question this morning, is that a scriptural statement? And I hope you can stay with me, because I do believe that the Spirit goes back to God, which gave it. The Bible's clear on that. But it just doesn't seem to be consistently, biblical consistent, to say that we are in heaven in the very presence of God, enjoying the glories of heaven, and then at the last judgment we get jerked out of that and we come over to this judgment day. Now, again, I have more questions than I have answers. The Bible doesn't really talk too much about the intermediate state of death and the last judgment. You know, it's a difficult question, because If anybody ever could have said, today you shall be with me in heaven, it would have been Jesus to the thief on the cross. Is that right? But he said, today you shall be with me in paradise. The question is, what is paradise? You know, I don't know of anyone, any person that has died and came back and told us where paradise was. I don't know of any person. When they die and are buried, they don't come back. And again, the Bible doesn't give us many details on this. And again, we tend to say that the godly people go to heaven and the ungodly people go to hell. That's the ultimate destination, yes. In Luke 16, again, the reason I have so many questions is because the Bible, again, let's turn to Luke. Luke chapter 16. And I am going to open this up to you to receive some input and some thoughts from you as well a little later on. Luke 16, verse 19. The story of the rich man and Lazarus. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, likewise Lazarus receive evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. We're going to stop reading there. Verse 23, it mentions the word hell. And this word is Hades, translated into hell. It's found 11 times in the New Testament. 10 times it's translated hell. The other time it's translated into the grave. Verse 22 says, he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The Amplified Bible would translate the word bosom into paradise. Now, obviously, the rich man suffered pain and torment in the flames, the Bible says. I did not look up that word flame. But the German would say, Ich leide Pein in dieser Flamme. I suffer pain in this flame of fire. That was the state of the rich man. Lazarus was transported into, or was carried over into Abraham's bosom, and he was enjoying peace and rest. Now, I would like to turn to one more scripture, Revelation 6, 9 through 11. This is giving us giving us another example of where the souls of the godly people went. Now, it tells us that Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom. Now, look where these people went, or these souls, spirit. Revelation 6, verse 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little while, season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren, which should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. So what do we do with this scripture? They were under the altar of God. Asking God, how long, Lord? So what is paradise this morning? Is it a place of rest and peace? Is it heaven itself? Is it a congregating place where all the souls of God's children go until last judgment? I am not sure. So I would like to open this up for you and hear your thoughts. What are your thoughts as you think of where does the soul go between death and the last judgment? Anyone? For Lazarus.
Yes,
I would agree.
Is it the same today as it was before the cross? It seems to be an intermediate state in the Old Testament and the New, but is it the same today as it was in the Old Testament? Another question.
Anyone have an answer for that? So if we have that, if we keep that thought in mind, is it then scriptural, is it biblical correct to say that they go to heaven right away? Before the last judgment? I mean, these are just questions that I have. You're talking heaven as in God's place of abode rather than the heavens, I'm assuming. Remember, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 14, it says, God will bring those with him that died beforehand. And then it says, we will not prevent them. How does it say? We will not prevent them which are asleep. And that word prevent, and I don't know why they use that English word. It's not what we would think of. But that means we will not go before. We will not meet Christ before the dead in Christ shall rise. They will go before us that are alive and remain. So, you know, as interesting as the thought process, the study is of what is the intermediate state? Where do the people go? We realize, we believe that they go, like Revelation 6 says, they are under, I mean, the people that were killed are under the altar of God. They are kind of in the presence of God. At least they are able to communicate with God. Abraham was in the presence of, Lazarus was in the presence of Abraham, and he communicated with Abraham, and Abraham communicated with the rich man in hell. I'm not sure how that is how that is all going to play out or has played out. I don't believe that that would be a after judgment. I don't believe that that would be a possibility anymore. There's a great gulf fixed and it forever will be. So having all this, you know, having said all this, I was thinking of the last judgment. And what, you know, the Bible is more clear and gives us a lot more detail on the last judgment than it is in that state between death and judgment. So if you want to, turn to Revelation chapter 20. This talks about the judgment at the last day. These are some sobering verses. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. Before I read this, I would like to tell you a story. A Walter Rosenberg. Has any of you ever heard that name before? Walter Rosenberg. I see one has. He was a young Jewish man, 19 years old. Actually, he was 17 years old when he went to the concentration camp in Auschwitz. And he was there for 2 years. And then him and another, he was 19 at the time, and there was another man that was either 25 or 26, that they decided they're going to try to escape. And they were the first Jewish people or men or prisoners that escaped that prison. In his 2 years that he was in this camp, he had evidently a really, really sharp mind. And he was able to, for numbers, was just, that was his thing, numbers. So he started keeping track of the amount of Jews that came into the camp and were gassed or were killed. The Germans evidently had some, the Nazis had a very systematic way of counting people. They put them in rows of five abreast, and in, I think it was five abreast, or groups of 10 maybe. Groups of 10 and 10 groups in a group. So it was 100 people. And they would take these people and they would put these 100 people into this truck, this car or whatever, railroad car, and take him over to the gas chamber and gas him. So he started keeping track, and he was very, very knowledgeable in his in realizing what is happening here. He worked in two camps, and he, trying to think here. He worked almost in every phase of the camp. So he knew the camp inside and out, both of them. He worked on that. His job was to go in. After the Jews came, they were hurried out of the cars, and his job was to go in, collect the dead, and collect the suitcases and all the valuables. But his goal was to get out to escape so that he could warn the people what is happening here. Because he said the success of the Nazis was their ability to keep this quiet, to live in secret, to have this in secret. And the people didn't know what they faced when they got into these cars they said they were going to relocate them. Instead, they were taking them to the gas chamber. So his heart's desire was to get out, and there was one group of people yet in Hungary, I think, that the Nazis had not started collecting, you know, gathering them up. So he wanted to warn these people that this is what is ahead of you. When they put you in the train, they are not relocating you. They are going to kill you. He came out and he sounded that warning. And he was amazed because the people did not believe him. Would not believe. They could not believe that there is a regime so cruel that they would put him to death, or put them to death. You know, his thought was, if they knew what is ahead of them, then they would make it, you know, they would run like deer instead of being herded like sheep. Now, thinking of the Last Judgment, do you believe? Do you believe it's coming? There are many, many, many people today that do not believe that. They don't believe that the last, there's going to be a judgment. And yet, as we sound the alarm, as we sound the warning, we do what we can, and yet people just simply don't believe. Verse 11 of chapter 20, Revelation. I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to his works, to their works. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. Verse 11, there will be no place to hide. The heavens fled at the earth. I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. Notice the next verse. And there was found no place for them. I think that is saying there was found no place that they could actually hide. They could not hide from God. All will be there. Social standing will make no difference. Small and great were there. Doesn't matter whether we're rich or poor. Great or small. Position or no position, doesn't matter. We will all be there. A record is being kept of the things done in this life. Every one of us has a book that our deeds are written therein. Written in books. You know, I don't know, does everyone have their own book or not? I don't know. But the Bible says the books were opened, and then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. You know, judgment will be according to our works, according to what we have done. According to the way we live, our thought pattern, our just the things we do. You know, this morning it really does matter what we do, say, or think, how we live. It does matter. You know, this message of judgment according to our works is consistent throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's very, very consistent. I'm going to give some references out, and I would like for y'all to read it. Psalm 28, verse 4. Anyone? Psalm 62, verse 12. Proverbs 24, 12. And if you want to take verse 29 as well. Proverbs 24, 12 and 29. Ecclesiastes 12, 14. Jeremiah 17, 10. And Jeremiah 32, 19. Revelation 2:23. Revelation 22:12. Matthew 16:27. Romans 2:6. And 2 Corinthians 5:10. All right, this is Old Testament and New Testament. And the point is the consistency of the old throughout the Old and New that judgment will be according to our works. There are people that say works don't matter. It doesn't matter what we do, what we say. It's only Jesus that saves our soul. That's true. Jesus does save our souls. But it does matter what we do because we're going to be judged by our works. Okay, Psalm 28, verse 4. So it says, give them according to their works. 62, verse 12. For thou renderest to every man according to his works. Proverbs 24, 12. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 14.
God shall bring forth the work in judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or evil.
Jeremiah 17:10.
I, the Lord, search the heart's doings.
And 32:19. Jeremiah 32:19. So now this was Old Testament. This was still, all these verses were in the Old Testament. Now let's look at New Testament. Revelation 2:23. Revelation 22, verse 12. Matthew 16, verse 27. Romans 2:6. And 2 Corinthians 5:10. The book of life was open. And whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life shall be cast into the lake of fire. At that time, there will be a separation made that is irreversible and final. You know, God said in Matthew, or Jesus said in Matthew 25, did not look this up, but he said the goats will be on the left, the sheep will be on the right. There will be no escape. Everyone will be there, regardless of our earthly grave and where or how their body was disposed. You know, we won't need this earthly mortal body anymore. Our spirit, our soul, Genesis tells us the spirit will go back to God who gave it, and it's there in safekeeping until the last judgment. So what is the answer this morning? What is the answer? You know, there's a time coming when there's a danger ahead of us if we're not careful, if we don't send our sins ahead of time. There is a time coming when let me rephrase that. There is a time coming when we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in our body. God has made a provision that we can come to Him, bring our sins beforehand to Him. God has made a provision that we can come to this judgment with the blood of Jesus Christ covering our sins. Turn to Revelation chapter 21. And we'll start reading in verse 2. And this is the answer of God for this sin problem that we have in our life. I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself shall be with them and be their God. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." He that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said unto me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." And he said unto me, "It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Verse 8, "But the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable and the murderers, the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now, John chapter 6, verse 35. This is Jesus speaking. "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. This is the Father's will which hath sent me, of all that which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." I have concluded, as interesting as the study is, it doesn't matter so much where the soul and the spirit of man dwells between death and judgment. God will take care of his children at all times. The all-important question is, have we repented of our sins and believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is that real in our hearts? Have we been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ? Have we lived a life of holiness? obedience to the commandments of God? Do we trust God to do what he says he will do? And rest in him. These are questions that all of us must answer for ourselves, between us and God. I cannot answer for my children. I cannot answer for my wife. I cannot answer for you. I can only answer for myself. Remember, Revelation 21, verse 8, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. How many times are we almost paralyzed with fear? And we struggle to, does God really mean what he says? Maybe you don't struggle in that way, but I find myself at times struggling. Does God really mean what he says? Can he do what he said he will do? You know, there's time and time again of things happening in this world, and it just puts a stab of fear in our heart. Are we a fearful people this morning? Are you a fearful people of what can happen? You know, if we put our life in God's hands, there is nothing and nobody greater than God. May we not be a fearful people this morning. Fear paralyzes, but faith gives grace and power to live above sin and to go on and meet God face to face. John 5, verse 24 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. You know, there's a curse pronounced upon the fearful and unbelieving. There's a great blessing pronounced on the man that has faith in the Almighty Godhead. In closing, I'd like to read John chapter 11, verse 25. This was the story of when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, or actually it's before he raised him from the dead. Lazarus was dead for 4 days, I think it says. And Jesus came and Martha met him. Verse 25. Let's back up to verse 24. Martha saith to him, I know that he shall rise again at the resurrection at the last day. Maybe we should even back up a little further. Verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And Jesus saith unto him, her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And then verse 25, Jesus saith unto him, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in him, me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And she said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which come into the world. If Jesus would ask us this question, believest thou this, what would you say? What would I say? May we be like Martha and say, Yes, Lord, I believe you. I believe that you are the Son of God, and you can do anything, that God will do anything that you say. So this morning, God is a place prepared for his people, and we, even though we don't understand, even though we don't know, we do know that judgment is coming, and those that are prepared will meet God with the blood of Jesus on their heart, and those that are unbelieving and fearful and all those other things will meet the wrath of God. The question this morning is, which one will be our portion? Let's kneel for prayer.